Hey, everybody, and welcome to Learning from Smart People. I am your host, Rob Oliver, and I want to say just thank you for being here today. I appreciate you spending time with us, and I hope that you will be able at the end of this conversation to say it was time well spent because you have learned something from a smart person. And that smart person today is Dr. Destiny Kopp. She is a business and marketing expert who helps entrepreneurs run their online business like a Harvard MBA grad without the huge price tag. She is a college marketing professor turned online entrepreneur and a wannabe Serena Williams-like tennis player. She is the host of the Course Creators MBA podcast and the creator of the One Click MBA membership. Destiny, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Rob. I'm super excited to be here today.
You bet. So sometimes I have guests on that cover topics that other guests have covered. And when I saw what you were doing, I was like, no, this is different than anything that we've had so far. So you want to talk about online courses, okay? So can you tell me a little bit of, you know, your experience in online courses? Is this something that started when COVID hit, or is this something you were doing before, or kind of what's your backstory?
Yeah, so I will go all the way back to around 2005. And this is when I had just left my corporate marketing career. So I was a marketing director for a Fortune 100 company and just left. I was burnt out, really wanted to do something else. And that is when online education, particularly at the university level, was just getting started. It was actually booming at that point in time. And that was my first introduction to learning online. You know, and so I did that for many, many years, taught at the, university level, doctorate students, graduate students, undergraduate students, specifically in marketing, because that's my background. And that's also where my doctorate is in. But fast forward, many years later, online learning has become mainstream. I mean, you can go out there and find an online course for about any topic that you want to learn. You want to learn about knitting? You can find a course on that. You want to learn about how to play chess? You can find a course on that. But even, I will say, in the past year, everybody across the planet has been introduced to online learning. And a lot of them like it, So, and they realize, and now they know that this is a viable learning opportunity. They can, pick up skill sets that they haven't used in the past and learn something. But I will say, to your point and to your question, Rob, there are businesses out there this past year because of COVID that were forced to take their business online. Like, I'll give you some specific examples just so you know exactly what I'm talking about here. One individual, he offered sales training. So basically what his business was, he went to, all across the country and sometimes even internationally, and he would either stay in a hotel and rent a hotel, conference room, or go to the corporation site if they had a facility that could handle it. And he would train their salespeople on sales. Well, he couldn't do that last year. So he basically took that business online and started otherwise he wouldn't have had any business whatsoever. So he took that business online and delivered that sales training online and virtually. Another example is a coach. This is a mindset coach. What he did, he went out and did retreats. So people would come to his retreat and he would work with them on mindset type issues. And he couldn't do that last year. So he had to bring his business online, basically set it up as a group coaching program where he also had an online course as part of that group coaching program. And he said it was the best thing ever because now he gets to work with his clients on an ongoing basis. And he did, in the past, he just could work with them at that retreat. And then basically, they didn't have his support to keep going. And now it's just changed his business.
Right. And in some ways, I'm assuming it opens up a whole, the world is your oyster now, right? So instead, it was only people that were within driving distance of where he was having his retreat. And, now he can have, and the other piece of that is that when you do that retreat and you're having people come to you, you can you know, you can only deal with it, there were, I'll try and say this again. I got a little tongue tied there. You can only deal with a limited number of people. And as opposed to when you're doing things online, you have exposure and you can get people from around the world all to be part of that one class. And, you know, that it really opens up the whole world becomes available.
You're exactly right. And that's what happened in his business. He actually was able to grow it instead of being limited to the people who could only get to, you know, that retreat on that particular weekend. So it really transformed what he was doing, and he was able to help more people, which is his mission in life. And that's what he wants to do.
How big is the online course industry?
So that's a great question. And if you go out and do research and just type in e-learning, kind of industry, you'll see that it's a $300 billion industry. So it's absolutely huge. Now that is everything, right? At the university level, K-12 level, but all the other online courses that people are creating out there. And anybody can have the opportunity to create this. So if you are an expert in your field, you're a coach, you just have, you know, something that you want to help people with, you can jump into this industry.
I love that. I mean, it's a huge industry. And can you kind of give me some ideas of, you've talked about like people that are trainers or people that are coaches. What are some of the other creative endeavors that people have been teaching online?
So I'll give you a lot more examples just to kind of put it in perspective for folks. One client that I worked with, she teaches Pilates. She does a little bit more than Pilates. She does some of the stretch, if you have some type of injury or whatever, she helps you with that. But basically what she set up was a Pilates membership. So her members can purchase this membership, and they can go into all these videos that she's created over the years. And every single day they can go in this membership and just pick, you know, whatever type of Pilates class they want to do that day and take it. So, you know, she's just a Pilates instructor, and, you know, that's her offering to her clients. Another example of a client that I've worked with, she helps vacation rental owners kind of decrease their reliance on like Airbnb. And this is something that also that's really expanded this past year, and she helps them book direct. So instead of offering their property on like Airbnb, she helps them kind of market their own business so that their clients or their people who are staying at their, their vacation rental can just book direct with them, and they don't have to pay all those fees. So basically what she does, she put together a course to help them or show them how to do that. So that's just, that's just another example of something that you can do.
Okay. And how do you, I guess there's two sides to it to me, and I'm looking at this from a revenue producing side or from a brand building side. Okay. And here's like, there's a ton of free content that's out there on YouTube and what have you. And how do you, when there's free content available, how do you differentiate yourself to say, okay, what I have is actually worth a membership, it's worth paying for, it's worth subscribing to? How do you kind of set yourself apart that way?
So let me just take a step back, and I'm going to answer your question several different ways. Now, okay, you mentioned that there's a revenue side of this, right? And there's also a brand building side of this, or building your business side of this. And I want to give you some other examples about how you can use an online course to kind of build your business. Because I think everybody's clear, right? You can actually sell it, right? You can make money selling it. So I am self-publishing a book on Amazon this summer. And I believe you had Helen on one of your previous podcast episodes where she talked about how, launching a book was a great thing for your entrepreneur toolkit. And I completely agree with what she was saying there. So one of the complaints that I get from authors is, that somebody buys their book on Amazon and they have no idea who that person is. So what I have done in my book, and this is more of a brand building type thing, I am offering them a free gift. Now that free gift is an online course, right? So it's a free online course. And the rationale and the strategy behind that is I want their information, right? I want them on my email list so I can upsell them to my products and services that I have after that. So they buy the book, they can get this free course that goes along with it, that kind of walks them all through the steps, that'll have videos and so on and so forth, and they're on my email list. So that's more of a brand building activity. Now, going back to your question that you just mentioned is how do you differentiate yourself? And I'll just use the Pilates membership as an example here. You know, in this case, she is building her brand, right? She's building her brand. She has, and she's done things to differentiate herself. So her clients would go to her for, you know, something different, because we know that there's other memberships out there that offer exercise. You know, Peloton's an example, body shaping, I think, is another example. And I know there's more out there, like Pilates Anytime. But she differentiates herself because, she gives her clients and people in her memberships more of that special handholding, if you would, that they're not going to get from those other bigger things. And she has kind of some unique things that she's done in her membership to differentiate herself in the marketplace, which, she's done very well doing that.
Sure. Okay. So let me just kind of make sure that I'm parsing through what you said. And that is, there are a variety of levels almost of online courses, in which some of them are just it's a free online course that allows you to establish a relationship, which is what you're talking about with your book. It's got a free online course. It's the thing that give me your email address, and now we can, that's the basis of that. And then I'm assuming that, yeah, there are other courses that you may want to sell to them, or that there are other services or products that you can sell. And because you know this, they came in through this door, these are the things that they will likely be interested in. So it's almost like a tiered thing, in which there may be a low cost or a free entry level, and then there are some other offerings that are a little bit more expensive and kind of build up. Is that a proper understanding?
You have absolutely hit the nail on the head. So in the book example that I gave you, that's actually a free course. Some of the other things that I have done, or my clients have done, have put together what we call a mini course or a tiny offer or a starter course. And basically, and you can sell these directly from a Facebook ad. And I've sold them from Facebook ads directly and Instagram ads, and they've done very well. And basically what this is a low cost type offer. Generally, it's going to be, depending on whether you're B2C, you're marketing to consumers, you're marketing to businesses, it can run anywhere from $17 to $47. But basically somebody sees this from a Facebook ad, they go to your sales page. And if they decide that they read through it and they decide, yeah, I can get a quick win, or this is exactly what I'm looking for, they can click to buy. And then you have some upsells on the checkout page to kind of, increase the revenue. But the thing is, and one of the benefits from doing something like this is that they're immediate customer. And we have found that once somebody purchased from you once, they're more likely to purchase you in the future. So basically what we do in those kind of, sales funnels, if you would, I'm hoping everybody knows what that means. But what we've done in those sales funnels is we kind of walk people through the buyer's journey to take them through. And at some point in the future, we're going to offer them some of our higher priced products or services.
Right. So in some ways you're showing them on those low end offerings, you're establishing your expertise. You're giving them an opportunity to see, when you work with me, this is what I can do for you. And then as a result of that, they now trust you and are more likely to be a repeat buyer and a long-term client. It makes a lot of sense. Can you help me with, if somebody is thinking, I'm not sure if I'm the right person for an online course, or if someone's thinking, I would like to do this, but I don't even know where to start. What can you tell us about starting, or the first steps?
Yeah, so, you know, if you're like, I don't know if I want to do this, or is there a market for my idea? What I generally recommend people do, if they're just like, you know, here's what I'm thinking about, is there a market for it? And let's just assume, right, they don't have their audience yet, because you know, generally that's where I'd point people to. You know, go talk to your audience and do some market research there. But let's assume that they don't have their audience built yet. What I would encourage you to do is just go out on a course marketplace, and there's tons of them in the marketplace. The one of the biggest ones out there is Udemy. Okay, you know, udemy.com. Go out there, look at it, and just search for, you know, whatever your expertise is. So let's just say you know you're a really good chess player, you know, really, really good chess player, and you believe you can help people play, you know, kind of compete in chess. Go out there and look. Are there courses out there? Because if there's courses out there, that means there's a demand for what you have to teach. So just go do some initial resources. And if you go out there and say, you know, you find that, right? And I'll give you this example. I just work with a client who is he's really good at content marketing, like what, you know, re really, really good SEO content marketing. And he was like, you know, here's what I want to do. Is there even a demand in the marketplace? Well, you know, that's one of the first places I went. And there's some. If you sign up for their instructor account, they'll even tell you how many clicks they're getting to some of those keywords.
Okay.
And that's what I took back and showed them. Like, this is like one of their top, you know, keywords area. I'm like, there's definitely a demand in there. People are searching for what you want to teach on.
Okay. Let me kind of throw this out a different way. What if you're searching for a course and the course doesn't exist? Does that mean that there's no demand for it, or is it the possibility of like you can be the go-to person in that area because there's nobody teaching that right now? What are your thoughts on that?
I would say you need to go out and do your research. So let's just say nobody's teaching it. Then what I would encourage you to do is to do some market research. So talk to some of your ideal customers and really get an idea of what their pain points are and see if your, you know, a course idea could solve those pain points.
Okay. I want to go back to something that you said earlier. You were talking about whether they had their audience first or what. So in your professional opinion, what comes first? Building your audience or building your course and your course builds your audience, or what are your thoughts on the order of to do that?
So I think that's a great question. And hands down, you need to have an audience to sell to, because what's going to happen if you don't have an audience to sell to, you're going to launch this course in the marketplace, but nobody's going to know about it or see it. And it's basically, you're going to be basically launching to crickets, and nobody's, you know, you're going to wonder why nobody's buying it. It's because you don't have an audience yet. Now, the good news is there's a lot of ways to build your audience that's not going to break your bank.
Okay.
You know, one of those is just starting a free Facebook group for your ideal customer. I had somebody, and this was in the vacation rental market too, but it's a different person than I was talking about earlier. They knew last year, like when kind of the Airbnb basically said, you know, give everybody back their money, and all these, you know, vacation rental owners were frustrated because they're like, they lost out on all this money. And they're like, this, we need to help them book direct. And they started a Facebook group, grew it to like 1,000 people, launched their course just in a matter of months. It was a beta type course. They said, I have this, you know, here's what I want to teach you. Are you guys in? Are you interested? And, you know, a lot of people from that group said, yes, we want to know how to book direct. And that's how they got started in their own, like, so it wasn't like 2 years it took them. It only took them a matter of 6 months to build this audience, so they actually had somebody to sell to.
Okay. This is just random thought, okay? And that is one of the offerings that you have after your course, like a mastermind group, where you would have, just to use that vacation rental owners, where they have these, you know, they've got this group and they are offering a course on how to book direct. And then they have kind of a like a power group or a mastermind group and say, okay, here, we're going to get, you know, 10 or 15 of you in, together, and we're going to brainstorm, and we're going to work together to actually take this to the next level and make sure that we're, you know, we're keeping up with all of the current options that are available. I'm assuming that's just an easier thing to do, or is that the kind of the next step?
You know, there's a lot of different ways that you can set up these online course businesses. You can do them like a recurring revenue model, like a membership. So you could get, you know, going to your point, you could get people to move into a membership to, you know, keep giving them the resources they need. It could be a mastermind, like what you described. So take some of the people who really want to take their learning and, you know, what they're working on to that next level. And you kind of, you know, charge a higher amount for that. There's definitely a market for that. So there's a lot of different ways you could structure a business like this.
Okay. You talked about kind of before you get started on your online course to do the market research. Mm-hmm. Once you've got the market research done and you say, yes, there is a demand for this, then what?
So you do the market research, and let's assume that you have at least a small audience to sell to, right? It doesn't have to be huge. Like it could be, you know, I know that people have launched courses with only 400 people on their email list or Facebook group, like what I just described of like 1,000 people in it. So once you have your audience, you know you're ready to sell, there's a couple ways you can approach this. Now, one of the more popular ways, and I actually like this approach and recommend it, is to do some type, what we call a beta course. So in that example, you go to your audience and say, I'm launching XYZ, and you know, here's how it's going to help you. And you know, here's when I'm going to launch it. If you want to participate, I'll let you in at a beta price. And then you can build your course as your members walk through it, as your students walk through it. So you don't have to have it completely built before you sell it. You know, now there's other people out there that have gone out and completely built the course and then sold it. And that works fine too. So there's different ways you can approach it. And not really a right or wrong way, but you can do either one.
Okay. What about the excuse that says, like, I'm not a teacher. I don't know how to, like, education's not my background. How do I make sure that what I'm doing meets their needs and is, you know, that I'm not just doing this because I'm passionate about it and because I found an area where there is a need, but I'm doing this in a way that's effective for the people that are enrolled in my course?
Well, I would say that a lot of people who do online courses, they don't come with a teaching background. So like I do, right? You know, they might just be, you know, working in whatever their 9-to-5 job, and they know that they have a skill set and they know that others would like to, you know, learn about the skill set. But there is a structured process that you can take and should take to create an online course. So basically I'll kind of go through and get into the details of the step-by-step process here. Okay. But one of the things that you'd want to do, even for a beta course, is put together your course outline. And basically this is, you know, step 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, whatever it is, to get your students from point A, which is where they are today, to point B, which is where they need to be. So then you would kind of outline, you know, if I'm going to get somebody and help somebody, you know, I'll take the chess example as an example, because chess is a little bit complicated, but there are things that you can teach people to do. So you would basically, you know, if you want to get them from point A to point B, which might be, kind of an intermediate chess player, what do they need to learn to get to that point? So you would kind of create that course outline. You would also say, you know, kind of look at that, and do I need to create any supplemental material? Do I need to give them a workbook to help them achieve their promised transformation? Do I need to give them cheat sheets or whatever? So you'd put that too in the outline. Once you have that outline, then one of the things that you can do is put together your course presentation slides, assuming that you're doing videos. And I'll give you another example in a second where you don't even have to do videos. You can just do audio. But let's assume you're doing videos. Now, this can be as simple as putting together a PowerPoint presentation or, you know, using Google to put together your presentation. And, you know, that's, you know, you just do a lesson, a presentation for each lesson. And then once you get that done, then you're going to go in and record them. And you can just do, you know, a screen recording of your presentation. It could be you just talking into your camera with this, with the, you know, with your presentation. So that is a super, super simple way to get started. Now, one of the things that are a little bit more up and coming that people are doing with their online courses, and I really like this because what the feedback that we're getting in the industry is people are getting overloaded by screens. So they don't want to sit there and look at, you know, look at a 30-minute presentation, right, of you just talking or you going over a PowerPoint presentation. They want to learn on the go. So audio has become, and is, and I do predict that this is going to be even more important in the future, but audio, just doing and teaching somebody through audio. So if you're, you know, might not be able to do that with the chess example, right? Because you might want to show them, you know, how to do that. But audio is becoming increasingly more important in online courses.
Okay. That makes a ton of sense. And, you know, people are able to learn on the go. And I mean, do you have a suggestion? Because I'm thinking about this. I'm a speaker. I do live presentations and I use PowerPoint for that. However, the PowerPoint is on the screen beside me and I'm standing or sitting in my particular case in the middle, and people can look from this at the screen and then at me, as opposed to when you're doing screen sharing on Zoom or wherever you're doing that, you're just looking at the PowerPoint the whole time. Do you have suggestions on like switching back and forth between the video of you and the PowerPoint or anything like that?
Yeah, I mean, I think you want to try to make it as interesting as you can to keep people's attention, right? Because short attention spans. The other thing that we're seeing in the industry and is getting shorter and shorter are the attention spans. So you generally, we like to see videos definitely 10 minutes or less, and I really like to see them 5 to 7 minutes or less. So the short, and this was at the university level too. So, but in this industry in general, the shorter you can make your videos, the better they're going to be. And people are going to go through them like Netflix style. So if you do 10 videos of 5 minutes, it's going to be better than you doing 1 50-minute video. Cause they'll just, it's kind of, they're just brain, our brains are getting so used to, oh, I can do 5 more minutes. Oh, I can do 5 more minutes. So the shorter you can make your videos, the more likely people are going to finish your course.
Got it. And yeah, in some ways it makes sense. And in that they're digestible chunks and you can, mm-hmm. It's up to your audience to say, okay, I can handle one of these. I can handle 3 or 4 of these. If you have to stop at some point, it's not like you have to say, okay, where was I? I was on this video and I can just resume mm-hmm. from that. I love it. Okay. Destiny, thank you so much for sharing. And if people are looking to get more information about you, where can they find you?
I would just go to my website, destinycop.com. I'm sure you'll have the link in the show notes. And Then LinkedIn. I'm actually on all the social media platforms, Destiny Cop, probably most active on LinkedIn. So if you want to join me there.
You bet. I will make sure to include those links all in the show notes and where people can find you wherever. And you also, if I'm not mistaken, you've got a free offer for my listeners that they can get from you. Tell me about that.
Yeah, so they can just go to my website. I will have a free offer there. I actually have a few, so they can pick and choose which ones fit okay. best for them. But so if they just want to go to the front page of my website, they can go there. I think the one that I had for your particular audience was Lead Magnet Ideas, because I think it's very important for people to build their email list. It's been one of the biggest drivers for my business. So it's Lead Magnet Ideas for online course creators. So if you want to create an online course in the future, I've given you some great ideas for that.
Yeah. And I mean, to go back to what we were talking about before, this is the stuff to how to build your audience before you launch your course. Makes wonderful sense. Destiny, thank you. I hope people take advantage of that. It is now time for three questions to establish your humanity. Are you ready for this, my friend?
I'm going to try. I'm a little nervous, but I'm going to try.
How many pillows do you sleep with?
Oh my gosh, four. I like to be really snuggled.
I love it. You know what? It gets you all comfy in there, and there's no judgment in that. Roller coasters. Love roller coasters, hate roller coasters, or you can be coaxed to go on them only under extreme duress?
So it kind of depends. We just got back from Universal over spring break. So like the Hulk and, you know, Rip Ride Rocket, I'm never getting on them again. But the roller coasters that they kind of have in the Harry Potter land where there's some 3D stuff in there and they have the roller coasters, those are my favorite. I love them. I'd ride them 10 times if I could.
You know, it works for you and that's good. Last question for you. When you're ordering a pizza, is it thin and crispy? Is it the traditional hand-tossed or is it the pan pizza or is it the Sicilian square pizza?
So I love, like Domino's, the thin crispy from Domino's is like my favorite.
Okay, and do you get it cut in like in the squares or in triangles?
In the squares is yeah. what they do. Yeah.
All right. And the easy question is what goes on your thin and crispy cut in squares pizza from Domino's?
Meat lover. So like pepperoni sausage. Yeah.
There you go. We are kindred spirit. Destiny Cop, thank you so much for being on. And I appreciate your openness and willing to share. Folks, check her out. Go get the lead magnets and make sure that you are. This is an area that it's a new revenue stream. It's a new way to build your brand. It's a new way to get yourself out there, build your audience, build your course, and move forward from there. Destiny Cop, you've been fantastic. To all my audience, thanks again for being here. I hope you have learned as much as I have today, and I will remind you that when you stop learning, you stop living. Have a great day, everybody.